Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. So this is a very interesting season of. How many of you have experienced real warfare over the last week or two? If you have, raise your hand and just everyone look around a little bit and see that things are happening. Whenever there is warfare, it means God's trying to get something to us. Whenever there's warfare, the enemy's trying to keep something from us. Are you there, saints? Whenever there's that kind of tension, whenever you're going through, it's because there's something you need to see or something you need to receive from the Lord. You understand that? And so don't be alarmed at that. In fact, when it comes, start praising him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So when I was growing up as a child, usually children grow up. When I was growing up, my mom, she had five boys and two girls. And mom and dad, and they were together the whole time. In fact, they were sort of the talk of the town in terms of couples. My mom and dad were items everywhere they went. And my father, he played, he sang and he played piano. And my mother was an accomplished pianist where, you know, she could play concert symphony. She was classical music. She was trained in that. So her five boys and two girls didn't have a choice. We all ended up involved in music, even to this very day. It's now passing to our children and our grandchildren. Amen. It's kind of interesting. But one of the songs that she taught me, I want to sing it for you, just a little bit of it. And I really would like you to learn it, because it's a great song. And it has to do with the warfare that I went over, or been over. This word I want to deliver to you today. Are you there? I think that's the key. Give me a clean heart so I may serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be by thee, though I'm not worthy of all these blessings, give me a clean. And I'll follow thee. Why did you put me up in oblivion? I don't know why you did that, but did I tell you? We have this thing going. We're working it out. We're working it out.
That's normally your key, Bishop.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. For I'm not worthy. I didn't earn it. Of all these blessings, give me a clean heart and I'll follow thee. Lift your hand if that's your prayer, because you can't follow him unless your heart's clean. That's the only way you can follow it. If your heart's not clean, your flesh will take over your life and you go the way of your flesh. If your heart's not clean and pure toward him, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to serve God. You surely can't please him, because he's all about the heart. He is all about the heart. and with your hands raised to the Lord, asking the Lord to do that. Because if you, one of the greatest gifts the Holy Spirit will give you is to show you what's in your heart. So you can, by volition, by choice, say, Lord, Lord, I refuse this. Take this. Give me your heart. It's the promise that God promised Israel and all of his people, even in the Old Testament, when he brought them out of slavery, out of what was a type of sin, to bring them into what he wanted. He said, I want you to love me. I'm commanding you today to love me, to love the Lord your God, and walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes. He wants our whole heart. He said, when you do this, I'm going to multiply you. When you do this, I'm going to bless you. And you're going to live. Not animate life. I'm talking about that life that is full and overflowing with the joy of God. And it's all predicated on your heart. He said to them in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 15, he said, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Please don't misunderstand the God we serve. He offers them both to us. And he says, and in that, I command you today. It's so amazing to me how God is so consistent. He said, I command you today to love the Lord. Love the Lord your God and walk in his ways. You can't walk in his ways if you don't love him. It pleases him when you walk in his way, because you can't walk in his way unless you know his way. And you can't know his way unless you love him. When you love him, he shows you the way to go. He shows you the attitude to have. And why would he do that? Because as we continue in the theme, make his name great, because God wants to make his name known through his people. That's the way he's chosen. And so he told Israel, I'm bringing you into this promise today. What is required is that you love me. Love me with your whole heart. Remember that song we were trying to sing last week? I want you to love me with your whole heart. I'm sorry, there's not very much of you left. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. What else is there left of you? Isn't it amazing? It's not the thou shalt nots that prove you love God. It's not living in what you can't do that pleases God. It's not religion as religion is taught and practiced today. It's not looking down the Ten Commandments and finding which one did not do. It's not that. It's much, much deeper than that. God has fixed it so that when your heart belongs to him and you love him, there are certain things that happen to you that please him. When you love him, you automatically please him. Because when you love him and you do something crazy, immediately you realize, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. How many of you have done that before? Made a decision, looked at it and said, Lord, what in the world was I thinking? I think I asked you that last week, didn't I? How many of y'all, if you wouldn't have climbed out your mama's window that night, your life would be different today. All the people said amen. So God was saying this to his people. And I got to find where, I need to find right where I was. Yeah. So, okay. When the Lord spoke to Israel to bring them out, he knew he couldn't bring them in unless they understood, unless they knew him and understood him. If he brought them in and they did not revere him and understand God with a heart to obey God, the very thing he brought them into, they would lose. He even tells them, if you love me, I'm going to subdue all your enemies. If you love me with your whole heart, I'm going to remove sickness and disease from you. If you love me with your whole heart, you won't want for anything. Isn't that amazing? But conversely, he says, but if you don't, and you go to other gods and you serve them, this is what all these calamities will come upon you. I was thinking about it today. I was talking with Jane just a little earlier, a professor this past week. I saw him on a platform stand up and say, parents, take your children out of public school. I was shocked to hear him say it. He says, because the public school system is irredeemably lost. It's too far gone. This is a professor saying this. And he was speaking to Americans. And there are some exceptions where private schools and charter schools and so on and so forth. But he's talking specifically about the public school system. Jane substitutes in the public. She said, it is unbelievable. Nearly uncontrollable. How did we get here when God gave us the power to educate our kids? Well, we turned it over to the state. We started worshiping other gods. And we let those persons come and teach and rule our children. So when our kids came home, they were holding a whole nother ideology, but saying something else to you. Have I got any parents that understand what I'm saying today? The Lord said, if you love me and you obey me, walk in my ways. He said, you know what? I'm going to cause your enemies to shut up. I'm going to push them back. I'm going to disarm them so they can't hurt you. It really is amazing to me. So I was looking, look with me for a moment in Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Verse 12 says, he said, I want you to watch yourselves and that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. This was promise by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of them, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. You shall not follow the other gods. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. And it's amazing. I like this verse because when you think about who God's church is, you are surrounded by God's enemies. This is not about you leaving the country. Going to Africa will not change this. Going to an island somewhere will not change it. Where we live among God's enemies, every single one of us. They may be next door, they may be across the street, they may be a place where you work, they may be the same street on which you drive, but I promise you, those of you who love God, you live in the midst of his enemies. But God said, even though you live in the midst of them, I, your God, I'm the one that will provide. I'm the one that will give you all these promises that I make to you. I will make them happen for you. Verse Verse 18 says, you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, by driving out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. And when your kids, when your sons, when they ask you in time to come, say, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? You shall say to your son, this is part of what we're missing right now. You shall say to your son or your children, we were slaves to Pharaoh. And by the way, I just want to say this right here. One of the problems we have right now is we have not passed the real history on to our kids. I'm sorry, you don't understand what I mean. You have not told your kids how bad your tail was when you were their age. You have not rehearsed before your children the things God delivered you from. Because I promise you, parents, all kids are going to ask the question, why you do this? Why you go to church? Why you give? Why can't we watch this? Why can't we go? Why don't you let us go to the party? Everybody else going to the party. Are you there? He said, when they ask you, tell them, because the Lord brought us out from this mess with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. God said, I want you to tell them your story. I remember when I was in trouble, facing the draft, relationship troubles. Lord have mercy. I didn't know what to do. I remember the day my mother, my father had already passed. She said, I don't know what's going on with you, but something's wrong. And she said, I want you to tell me what's wrong. And I told her, I just spilled the beans. Honey, should I tell him? Okay, I'm doing to you what I'm just telling you to do to your kids, right? So I'm treating you like my kids today. Is that all right? I don't mean that anything negative. I was in college in my senior year. I only had, I think, like 7 or 8 units to graduate. And I've been playing football, and I got tired of playing football, so I just said, I'm tired. So I walked off the field, never came back. So when they were inquiring about, in those days, about your draft status, the coaches just sort of turned me over to the Army, and they came after me with a vengeance. And they sent me draft notices, and I sent them back. Which is a felony. Punishable by jail time. So they sent the FBI after me to get me. Oh, they wanted me. And we all look alike, all my brothers. So they're dragging my, you all know David. They dragging David down the sidewalk. No, I'm not him. No. My mother finally convinced them that that wasn't Flynn. He was in college. So they sent me a note. Said my mother called me. She said, son, I think you need to come home. We got trouble. It's okay. So I came. So I went. I came home. And the FBI wanted to meet with me. I think I told you the story. And they were giving me an opportunity to join the Army on my own free will. Otherwise, they had to take me to jail. But they had already talked to me. They had talked to my pastor. He told him I was a good person.
That was a joke.
How many of you know all the nice guys are not good guys? Let's try it again. How many of you know all the nice guys are not good guys? I was one of them. And so it was so bad because they said, well, we're going to give you another opportunity to show up. Now, what else was going on? Two women were pregnant. And that's not the life I grew up in. And I was distraught. Honestly, I didn't know what to do. I remember my mother, she called me aside. She said, I want to tell you a story. She had never told me this story ever. She set me down and she told me her life, her situation. I couldn't believe it. She had never told me she had that kind of situation. So she totally understood where I was, and she was a testimony that God brought her out. I only knew Myrtle Johnson, who was in love with Walter Johnson, who had 5 boys and 2 girls. I didn't know the other stuff. My Lord. So I took a deep breath and I said, okay. And she assured me. She said, now you make the right decision. You know how you want, you know what's right. Make the right decision. So I made my mind, okay, I ain't going to jail. Because if I'm going to have a baby, I don't need no baby's daddy in jail. So I'm going in the Army. And I got on the phone. And I dialed a number. I said, Carolyn Johnson, I want you to prepare to be my wife. Well, she wasn't Johnson yet. Her name was Dogan. So that was Louisiana, yeah. So she was Louisiana, yeah. What they call them girls? She Creole, bad as she could be. And I told her, Chris, I said, you just prepare to be my wife. I never asked her. I told her. And I was, if she would have told me no, I'd have fell down the floor and died. Because, you know, woo wee. I'm telling you this because my mother told me her sin. But she already had the answer because she'd already been living in the redemption of that sin. She'd already been living in the blessing of that sin. She already told me what she came out from. I already saw what she was into. So this is the one verse I wanted to give you today so I can apply it. Verse 23. And you didn't know what I was going to talk about today. Verse 23. I'm in the 6th chapter. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Are you there? Well, you get there. Check this out. It's so simple, but I said, Lord, why is there so much war over this word? He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. You can't come into what God wants. You know the rest. Unless you come out of what you're in. You cannot experience. Let's flip it the other way. You can experience everything he promised, but not if you're still in that same old place you were of sin. Not if you have that same mindset. Not if you're trying to figure out, you know, how much can I do that I really love? How close can I get to the line? How much can I keep of my old life and still experience the blessings of God? I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to get me an asbestos suit that I can strap on so, you know, the flames won't mess with me, but I can still enjoy the life I wanted to enjoy. How do I live? How do I let go of everything that displeases him. And it's about the love of God. Because God, you know, God sees all things clearly and loves you immeasurably. But you can only experience his love back if you love him. How's the song go? Love me with your whole heart. I want it all today. How do you get into what God, if you're not into what God wants and what God promised, then you got to ask yourself, what am I still in? If I haven't come out of that and I haven't come into what God wants, what is it that I'm still holding on to? Are you still breathing? So I thought I'd help you put words to it, if I can, if I may. Because Psalms 103 has a list of stuff. I don't think it's an accident, the stuff that's there. I think it's the stuff that we wrestle with. We have to decide to deal with. Because he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. I'm wondering, can you do that? All that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, don't forget any of his benefits. The first thing he says, he pardons my iniquities. Now I wonder how much of that mess is still hanging around your life. And you can't experience the power of the pardon because you still taste it. You know, the Lord not only wants to deliver you from, forgive me for the small things. God doesn't only want to deliver you from smoking. He wants to take the taste of nicotine out your mouth. The Lord does not just want to deliver you from alcohol. He wants to take that thing so it's like I don't even want this anymore. How many of you can think of something in your life that you used to love to do and now you can't stand it? Raise your hand and look around. This is the grace of Almighty God. You get around that thing, it makes you sick. Friend of mine said, I prayed, God, please take these cigarettes out of my mouth. He said, then don't put them in your mouth. And when he decided not to put them in his mouth, God touched his mouth, and now when he smelled it, he can almost want to vomit. I'm trying to declare to you the grace of Almighty God. God said, I'm going to bring you out so I can do what? Take you in. I wonder how many of you are still dealing with iniquities. You still tell a little lie to make yourself look good. I didn't mean to hit you so hard, but I guess, God bless you. You know, you won't just, you don't just tell the truth. The whole truth. And you know the drill. Did you know that the Lord loves those who speak truth out of their mouth? He loves them. And when you exaggerate, some of you, your line is exaggeration. Because you want to look good. But when you understand to God, you already look good. You don't have to try to look good. And so even if you're looking bad, you don't mind saying, this is what I did. This ain't true. I didn't do that. People hate liars. Liars don't stay married. Liars don't keep friends. Liars don't keep jobs. Liars don't get to keep no money. Are you all there? But the Lord said, Israel, I'm going to bring you out so I can bring you in. When you are a person of truth, it's so amazing because when you are a person of truth, you're not afraid of lying. You're not afraid of being lied to because when you're a person of the truth, because you are the truth, which is the light, it shows up the lie when it comes. Have I got a witness here? They were looking at you, telling you, talking, and inside you're saying, they lying. How many of y'all know that? You know that. They lying. They lying. It's a powerful thing to be delivered from a lie. Pardons my iniquities. That propensity to break the law, or the propensity to go further than what you're supposed to go. That propensity to do what you know you shouldn't do. In order for you to experience the freedom of serving Him, in order for you to experience the freedom of serving Him, you have to be delivered from the lie. Which means God's got to show you. You know what will happen to you when you ask God? David said, "Lord, put a gate over my mouth." When you ask the Lord to do that, what will happen? You start to tell a lie, and the Holy Spirit will say, "Don't lie." Raise your hand if you know exactly what I'm talking about, and look around, testify to other people. He will deal with you. You start to speak. You can't. Oh, I can't do that. You just take a breath. This is the truth. When you tell the truth, it'll set you free. All the people said amen. He said He heals all of my diseases. I want you to come out from a life of sickness into a life of health. In other words, I am not going to constantly be. Look, if you're constantly struggling with your physical health, you got to, number one, ask yourself, what laws am I breaking? I'm sorry, I'm trying to help you here. If you are constantly sick, there's some law that you're breaking. What is it? You eat too much, eat too late, eat the wrong things. Eat too much, eat too late, eat the wrong things. Eat more than you go past the I'm full. And when you go past the I'm full stage so much, the I'm full just kind of shut up, just to be quiet. And then what's talking, your stomach hurts so bad you got to quit. Because that hunger thing, tell your neighbor, will never get enough. Tell your neighbor. God said, Israel, I'm calling you away from the garlic and the leeks, that lifestyle, that recipe that you've been eating. I'm calling you out of that into what I have for you. And it's glorious. Are you still breathing, saints? That fruit was so big they had to carry it, two men to carry it. Carrying the fruit out of the land. It was so fruitful, so incredible. The things that God had prepared for them. Wow. How many of you have heard this voice? That's too salty. Too salty. How many of you heard this voice? That's it. Don't eat another sweet. How many of you heard that voice? It don't sound quite like me, but it sounds like your voice, right? Isn't it amazing? You go to reach. Is it? Don't. He's trying to call you out. Why? So He can bring you in. Some of you, you're sick because you haven't changed your eating habits. Some of you are sick because you have bad, you practice bad physical habits. You don't dress accordingly, or your house is burning up, or your house is freezing. And you don't adjust appropriately. Some of you have no regard for the weather. Some of your sickness is because you just don't take care of yourself. Am I talking to the right people? And the Lord said, Israel, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to bring you into. When you know the love of God, how much He loves you, He'll take care of you. I said, when you know how much He loves you, you will take care of you. He says, He pardons my iniquities. He heals my diseases. And then He says, He redeems my life from the pit. Some people love to live in the slump. Some people love to live down. Their flesh loves to live in a place that's lower than where they ought to be. And they even get a fear of living better. Talk to your neighbor. God never intended you to slum it. Unless you're witnessing to somebody. Let's try that again. God never intended you to live like you poor. I didn't even say poor. I said poor. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to heal your diseases. I'm going to pardon your iniquities. I'm going to redeem your life. In other words, I've already paid for your success. Now you have to walk in it. I'm going to redeem your life. He's already paid the price for all your iniquity, all your mistakes. He's paid the price. So now you got to quit making those mistakes. He's already paid what it cost. Some of you are paying yourself because you know when you do something that you're ashamed of, you can beat yourself up all your life. You won't get any further because you don't believe you deserve anymore. And the Lord said something totally different. Because of his incredible love for you, he pays all of it. All of your iniquity, all of your sin, all of your mistakes. He didn't miss anything. All of your bad decisions, all of your terrible rebellion, God paid for it. He said, well, Lord, how you going? Some people have a difficult time believing that God's grace, God's blood, and God's life actually paid for all of their life that's negative and sinful. It was hard for Israel to believe because it took them a while before they came out of that Egypt mentality. In fact, that first generation, they didn't get any further than the desert. They didn't get into what God wanted. He didn't call them to the desert. He called them to go through there into what he wants. Because you understand that when God wants to bless you, usually he will test you. Tell your neighbor what I said. When he wants to bless you, he will test you. Because God doesn't want you putting the same value on the thing he blessed you with than your value in his love and his life and who he is. When you love God with all your heart, Lord have mercy, then you can appreciate what he gives you and never change your love for him for your love for stuff. I asked you a question 3 weeks ago. How much money does it cost for you to stop praying? How many blessings can God bless you with until you no longer are in love with him? You flip to being in love with him to being in love with the stuff. God said, not only has he pardoned your iniquities, pardon means he's going to treat you like you never did it. Not only does he do that, not only will he heal your diseases, things that you've been plagued with, God will many times give you instructions how to change that. Sometimes he'll give you instructions before he actually releases his grace and power in healing. The Lord did both for me. I testified to you today. He did both. He showed me what to do, and then he took everything away. He showed me what I needed to change in my lifestyle. I did that, and I was doing it faithfully. And in the process, it was a year. And in the process, God was taking away internally the thing that was plaguing me, which doctors could not heal. To this very day, there is no healing for that disease. Some of you want God to initially a miracle of healing, which he can do, but there are some situations that God wants you to tell your neighbor, he wants you to participate in the miracle. What is it for you? He goes on, he says, he will crown you with loving kindness and compassion. He told Israel, look, I'm going to make you a, he calls it a kingdom of priests. Lord, have mercy. That's what he's always wanted. You will represent me to the world. And I'm going to bless you so when they come to you because they know you got the goods. So David, when he wrote this psalm, he said, he crowned me with loving kindness and compassion. And some of you have not understood that, you know, it's thrown around today. I'm the king, you're my queen. But I wonder how many really understand what that is. For no crown worn by anyone is done so on your own. All crowns are bestowed. And you better check out the power and authority from which they are bestowed. It is God that calls you to a place of rulership, authority in this culture. It's God that calls your lifestyle to reflect who he is. It's God that causes you to be in an excellent place, in the marketplace, advertising his kingdom and his glory. So right now, the question for the church is, are you too ashamed to declare that crown? Are you willing to exalt his name, to proclaim who he is, to speak even against the thing that is against him? To wear this crown means that everybody around you, they see the glory or they see the honor that you carry. And they know there's something different. And when the time comes for you to give a testimony to who you are and whose you are, I wonder, do you have the courage to call his name? You can't come into what God wants unless you're willing to declare his name. Without shame, without fear, knowing that those who are around you serve other gods. But make no mistake about it, they are in their serving of other gods, are still looking for the truth, hungry for what is real. That's why when you come around, they like to be, by the way, if they don't like to be around you, you might be wearing the wrong crown. We're not talking about people who have their nose up at everybody, and we're not talking about people who avoid, oh no, you stink, get around. We're not talking about people who want to exclude themselves. Unfortunately, the church right now in America today, in Georgia right now, we're on blast right now before the whole nation because of this mess we have going on in our government, which we are responsible for. I'm sorry to say it, it's true. We are responsible. We don't say nothing. Child, if they're making money and they're black, it must be all right. Are you crazy? He said, Israel, I'm going to bring you in. And when I bring you into those nations, they're going to be jealous for you because they see how well you do. I want to say this. One of the characteristics of God's people when he brings them together and places them in the midst of their enemies is one of the most outstanding attributes of God's people is a thing called family. Did you feel that? What? Yeah. The simple thing that we have neglected. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest testimonies God gives us, and you know, you not only have you come out, you know you've come into the purpose of God, when family is a big thing to you. Hey, Tiff, I wonder, why is there so much internal silence on this right here? Maybe because Satan has not been kicked out of our families. Maybe because the place we've experienced the most hell is in our relationships. Look at your neighbor and say, that's going to change. If Satan ever wanted to get to the body of Christ, the easy way he does is he deals with the starting relationship, husband, wife. That's the first thing he does. Messes up that relationship by you marrying somebody that look good instead of is good. First thing he does, it gets you attracted by the eye to the frame of this person. Little do you know, in 2 years, that frame is gone. In fact, many of you don't even know that ain't the real frame. It's covered up. Hello, covered up. Button up. It ain't even real. It ain't even real. It was made in Atlanta. So right now, you deceive right now. And you have forgotten that physical out, the physical form has nothing to do with the inner heart. And you don't marry the form, you marry the heart. Because the form changes, but the heart remains. And I want to know, when are we going to turn this around? God sends somebody to you, loves you, loves him, loves God, will love you with her whole heart. And just because she don't have a maid in Atlanta. And you can't handle it all anyway. You know, some of y'all wouldn't know what to do with it if you had it. You wouldn't know what. You've been watching too much TV. You've been in your phone too long. Are y'all breathing? Well, the greatest place that the world sees that we are the real deal. The first place they look is our marriages. So when she's sick, you're still faithful. I can't get nobody to help me today. When he's fired, you're still faithful. Help us, Jesus. God said, Israel, now you're going to be different than those I bring you in the midst of. I give you this type because this is the church. When I cause you to be born again, it changes your life, changes your language, changes your posture toward each other. And by the way, if you're single, you're still a part of a family. Family is the most powerful thing. You do know that first thing God created was family. He created family before he created government. If you don't think God is looking at family, oh my God, the heaven is zeroed because family is the first demonstration of the love of God. So it's no wonder why we are having to deal right now in our relationships with family, because when they are impure or they are not correct or they are sinful, I want you to know that the rift in your marriage becomes a rift in the kingdom, because we are a kingdom of priests. And even as a single person, what makes it powerful is that you are single, but you're not wanton. Excuse me, I didn't say you didn't have any sexual desires. When I say wanton, you ain't wild. You ain't buck wild. I am trying. They're looking at me like I lost my mind. So even though you are alone in your companionship and in your person, you are not lonely. Because you have a relationship first with the one who created you, And I let me just go on and say it. And you have a relationship with the body of Christ he placed you in the midst of. So that you don't misunderstand what God's church is. God's church is a reformation of his family. And you did not choose in the natural what family to come into. You wasn't your choice. God chose it. And when God places you in a local church, when God does it, he does something in your heart. And that means that all you need is there. And what they need, you have too. And when you are in the body of Christ, in the family of God, God makes sure that you are whole and everything is cared for. It is so bad because the culture teaches you that if you're single, there's something wrong with you. Raise your hand if you're single. Raise it high, straight high. I want you to know you're okay with God. God doesn't detest you because God does not send a curse because you're single. Are you guys okay? Okay, I'll hurry and finish this because I'm boring y'all half to death. All right. Family is the first way that God demonstrates. Israel was to take them. See, Pharaoh said, all the men can go worship, but your women got to stay. Remember that? What was he trying to do? Break up the family. He's still doing it today. Pharaoh says, I'm not sure if you're really a man or a woman. I tell you what, whatever you want to be, just be that. Why didn't I get no response from that? That's how Pharaoh, who's this type of Satan, that's how he messes up the family. How? He switches identities, makes it fluid. Be what you want to be. I'm not against anybody who's having difficulty in their identity. I'm telling you, however, even though you may be having difficulty in your identity, trying to switch your Lord have mercy. You know what I'm trying to say? Trying to switch your gender. Trying to switch your gender. That's buffoonery. I have another word for it, but it's not appropriate in public. Have you ever lost your mind? Because God deeply loves you. He loves you with no less. And he did not make a mistake. Tap your neighbor and say, he didn't make a mistake when he made you. He didn't make a mistake. I'll talk more about this later, but the whole issue of family is one reason why we have to have a restoration of family, because to restore the family is to restore the priesthood, the kingdom of priests under God, his church in this culture. In Atlanta, because we have a higher rating of African American people, what we show in family is, do you know every time in an African American family that they come to Jesus, and a man takes a woman and a woman takes a man in matrimony, do you know it flies in the face of that lying demon that purported slavery? Do you know it just kills all that? It destroys all of that negativity. Do you know when you are a man and a woman married in holy matrimony and faithful to each other in the kingdom of God, you have power and authority and you can bring changes to this very culture? Did you not know that God wants to show off? He wants to show off. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether the person you married, dark-skinned people, is light-skinned or what is erroneously called white. God does not care. God is not tripping. Somebody, beauty's only skin deep. Oh, yeah. So saints. No wonder you have so much problems in marriages. Couples can't talk to each other. They have problems communicating with us. There is no love. There is no enjoyment of each other. God is not able to manifest himself between the two of them, something like the cherubims. When you are in agreement, God manifests himself between. God's not there because you're arguing and bickering and fighting. Are you crazy? And you've been redeemed with the same blood? When are we on again? Is that again? Yeah. Bonding or bickering. The art of fair fighting. My wife and I are going to do that coming up this coming Saturday at 12 o'clock. Check your Metro City app for the Zoom link. Don't miss it. We will show you how to kick Satan out of your relationship. How to walk closer so that when you do come together, it's a wonderful thing. And when you are apart, it's a wonderful thing. We will show you how powerful, how awesome it really is and can be to live with somebody who's opposite and yet the same. You're gonna love it. And those of you who've been hurt by somebody who broke your heart, and you found out that it was made in Atlanta and it all fell to pieces and it all drooped down and all, you know, and it ain't what it was. You ain't what you thought it was. You know, all y'all, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you too. He's going to bless you with somebody that loves you. And you love them for all they are. And by the way, I want you to know, if you find somebody that God gives you, I don't care what the measurements are, they're going to be looking good to you day or night, night or day. Girl, just walk for me. Girl, put them high heels on. Strut on down now. Let me see. Lord, Lord, have mercy. She be talking to him, talking about, girl, just flex him, baby. Just flex him. Who cares what they think? It only matters what your eyes see. It only matters what your heart beholds. And those of you that have been married for a while, and now she ain't looking like she looked when you first got started, God's going to do a transformation in your heart. Yes, he is. Teach her how to do a makeover. Have mercy, Jesus. Amen. Some of y'all are going to actually fall in love again. Wow. Wow. You can't even go through the day without calling her. Girl, you all right? Yeah, baby. Say, when you're coming home, I'll be there at 5:35. When you get here, I'll be waiting for you. All right, I have something special for you when you come. He wants to put that zip back in your doodah, man. He wants to bring that light back in the darkness. He wants to bring that life back where there was death. He wants to breathe that excitement where there was no excitement. He wants to stir up actual conversation where there was no conversation. Because I'm telling you, there is nothing that shines brighter than a marriage in Christ. Nothing. My wife and I, we'd love to go out. People looking at us like, they so cute. Well, you know, she is. Really, she is. I have to watch them. I have to watch them tenderonis, though. Them tenderonis, they don't care. They don't care. They ain't got no respect. I have to wear my piece for them tenderonis. Because they be talking, you know, like, hey, mama. Hey, who you mama? We had one boy. We was at the Southern Gentleman the other day. Did I tell you I was at the Southern Gentleman? Did I tell you we was there? That old young whippersnapper coming in talking about, hey baby. I mean, talking to my wife. I'm sitting right there in the chair. He acting like I ain't even there. Hey, baby. What can I get you, baby? You got it, baby. I'm looking, I was in shock. I said, did he call you, baby? Sometimes I get beside myself. I don't know whether to jump up and hit him or, you know, or say something. I, because I'd be like, I know she's fine, but she ain't yours. One of them got smart with me. I said, hey, you can't afford her. We'll fix this up right now. Well, they look down on her finger. Look on her finger and say, oh, show you right, Pops. Show you right. Yeah. When we go out, it's such a wonderful, it's one. I respond to people responding to us. We just start laughing. It's the funniest thing. Somebody said, I know y'all married. I mean, they don't know. Today, you know, y'all married, ain't you? Yeah, we've been married. We're married. They said, well, how long? We asked them, how long we been married? Go ahead, guess. You won't offend us. You know, they be talking about, well, probably 20 years and 30 years. And man, when I tell them 53 years, they go, oh, it looked like they swallowed something about to die. Oh. But we've been learning the secret of what it is to have him in our relationship. You need him more when you're older than you did when you first started. Because things change. Are you all there? Israel, I'm bringing you in among these heathens. They don't know nothing about me. They are considered darkness. I'm bringing you as the light right in the midst of them. I'm going to make sure that they see your healing. You left sickness, poverty. You left it. Now it's different for you. I need you to testify in the midst of them. That's why we're having a detox in a couple of weeks. With our detox. 26th, our detox. That's why we're having 26, 27. And it's for everybody. Let's say everybody. It's for everybody. Because you know what? What happens when you start walking and the Lord starts blessing you and you get used to the level of blessing and now it's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of, that's, you know, that's kind of the way it is. And the tendency is to start acting like the ones you live among. So I was thinking about this week. If you have as many hours logged on your phone as the world, I wonder what does that mean? And compared that to how many hours you got logged onto the Word of God. Maybe God has said, I got to hold this up till I get them right. Because if I pour this on them in their present state, they will forget who I am. And they will love the gift and not the giver. I wonder how many of the blessings that God has with your name on it, as she would say, with my name on it. I wonder how many of your name on it is still up there. Or still out there, because if the Father who loves you gave you that, Lord have mercy. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to acknowledge, hopefully you have been a little bit, acknowledge what is it that I haven't come into that God promised. Where am I still hanging out? Where am I still languishing? What haven't I left completely that I may come in to everything He wants? One of the reasons why we have detoxes is so you can deal with that. May the Lord God meet you in that place with such power and anointing that you know you've been in his presence, and you know, as a woman said, I know I've been changed. I want you to bow your heads right there where you sit today. The Lord's trying to bring you in. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord shows you, well, you haven't come into health because you're rebellious. You haven't come into full forgiveness, so you keep going back. Let this be the beginning of your preparation for detox. One of the preparations, I got to get real honest with myself. You have to admit, it hasn't been that good between us. We tolerate each other instead of love and adore each other. Adore each other. And as you're praying there for these few moments, I pray for you. This is the time that the Lord is, if the Lord ever meant business, he means it now. Because what's at stake is so high. This is not just about my comfort. This is about my calling. This is about what God wants to do with us. By the grace of Almighty God, I pray for you that the Lord would open your eyes so you can see clearly what's been hindering you from going forward. That the Lord may help you identify the things that have been plaguing you that need to stop, and the time is now. That the Lord may show you where the area of fear is, which keeps you from going forward. He will do it. I promise you, he will. You ask him, I promise you. Father, I thank you and I praise your name. Thank you for that capacity to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. Thank you. Thank you for the deep commitment of forsaking all others, clinging only to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the courage to go forward with what you desire, though it's not in the comfort zone that I'm accustomed to. Thank you for letting me be your church, your representatives. I praise you, Father. I thank you. Let Jesus be magnified. Let Satan be horrified. In Jesus' name. God's people said. God's